Welcome, warriors. Today, I am blessed to have John B. Hammond as my guest. He is an author, a married man, and is on the autism spectrum. Grab a tissue and get ready to be blessed by a young man who embraces his diagnosis and does not allow it to define or limit him. Let's rock.
Does your past haunt you? Maybe you're in a storm that feels like it will never end. Are you fighting a battle that's rendering you hopeless? Maybe you feel like you're fighting alone, but your battle was not meant to be a solo endeavor. You were meant to be a warrior among warriors. My name is Heather, and I grew up thinking my battles were nobody's business until I found myself in an abusive marriage and felt cut off from all avenues of help. In this podcast, you will hear warriors' words. They will tell you of their battles, both won and lost, their journeys, and their lessons learned along the way. But we don't stop there. These warriors will share how they have applied those lessons to go from warrior to survivor to thriver. Whether it's an abusive marriage, illness, mental health crisis, or any number of traumas this world dishes out, these warriors will use their words to help you find the beauty in your broken, move beyond your battles, and become the thriver God created you to be. Pick up your sword or boxing gloves and join the battle. Your words are powerful, my friends. Make them warrior words.
Welcome back to the Warrior Words Podcast. Today, we are discussing life on the autism spectrum with author John B. Hammond. John is a first-time fantasy novelist who loves aviation and storytelling. But before we hear John's story, here's a wonderful review from Kim Stu Inspired. Kim writes, "Learn to be a warrior. So thankful for Heather's brave steps to share God's love and hope for those walking through battles." Thank you, Kim. Hope is so powerful, as is God's love. I'm grateful you heard both in these episodes. Would you like me to read your review on an upcoming episode? Please go to Apple Podcasts and leave a review for the show. Your comments and star ratings help people find the Warrior Words podcast. It only takes a few minutes of your time and would help us so much. Thank you. And would you like to become a Warrior Words insider? Get all the latest news at subscribepage.io/pearls of wisdom. And that link will be in the show notes for you. Now, on to the show. Hi, everyone. As you heard in the intro, my guest today is author John B. Hammond. And he's here to have a conversation with us about the autism spectrum and his role and his experience with autism. So welcome, John. How are you today?
Good. Thanks for having me.
All right. Well, thank you for giving us your time and for joining us today. So I mentioned you were on the autism spectrum. Can you tell us a little bit more about how that diagnosis came about for you?
It's actually an interesting story because I was just starting at a new school. I had been really struggling towards the end of elementary school and basically dropped out and was homeschooled for sixth grade. And I just started a new school for middle school, and the school counselor, I don't remember what her official title is, but she was a counselor. Mm-hmm. And who she was also a neighbor and someone who went to the same church as us, same church building and everything. So she was like a family friend. And she kind of quietly asked my parents, "Have you ever considered that your son might be on the autism spectrum?" And back then, I don't think we actually said autism spectrum as much, because this was like 15 years ago. So I don't know how, if she used that same terminology as we do today. But so she kind of just, mom just came to me and said, "So you're going to get a call to counselor's office. You're not in trouble." You know? And she took me in and talked to me. And she just asked me some really basic questions, and then went back to my parents and said, "Hey, I'm pretty sure he's on the autism spectrum. Can I run some tests?" I guess is the best way to put it. And it was basically just like questions and do this quiz and stuff like that. And she was a, she had a degree, I believe, in behavioral therapy or something like that. Mm-hmm. So she was an expert, you know, but she wasn't like, wasn't PhD about it, but she knew what she was doing. And she said, I'm pretty sure he is most likely diagnosis is Asperger's, which again, I still use that term. I know it's not as right. used today as autism spectrum disorder, but like it's what I grew up with, and it's kind of its own category in the spectrum, you right. know, and some people, I don't ascribe to this, but some people think Asperger's might be different than autism spectrum disorder. I don't know. We're all learning about autism spectrum disorder right. as we yes. go, right? even the people who are the experts, right? So
yes, things do keep changing. If anybody listened to the episode, what was it? Episode number 14. I talk about my son who's very similar. You're just a few years older than he is. So again, about 15 years ago. And that was what part of his diagnosis too was the Asperger syndrome. And he was not happy when they reclassified it to
I
to
was
ASD.
Not either. I was not either. I felt like we were kind of like pooling everyone together and like, cause part of it is the services then get pooled together. And one person's autism is so different to another person's autism. And then they kind of just pool the services that are available at universities and the government and all that stuff together, even though we have very different needs depending on where you are on the spectrum.
Exactly.
You know, I don't know. I could talk about that for a whole other interview, but I don't want to do that too much.
Well, I can understand it and can definitely relate to that. So we had some challenges with his diagnoses and his accommodations and the way the schools handled it, but he was homeschooled most of his educational career as well. So
well, good for him.
So you mentioned to me that it kind of clarified some things for you. I think you used the phrase looking through a different lens.
Mm-hmm.
What exactly did you mean by that?
It was really liberating. I don't know if that's the best word, but liberating to be told, okay, you've been considering yourself weird this entire time. Not a bad thing. Justifiable and not a bad thing. There's advantages to it. My mom took me aside when she was kind of explaining the diagnosis from the counselor mm-hmm. and said, okay, John, you basically have a superpower. And it's like the superpowers in comics where it's not all positives. It has weaknesses. It has things that you need to keep in mind that are going to differentiate you from other people. But if you can lean into the positive things, the powers part of it, right, then you're going to do amazing things. I mean, all superheroes have their tragic backstory, sort of stuff like that, right?
Right?
It's not as all the good ones, at least. So, and I took that as a good mantra that, you know, if you can learn to master the parts that make it more difficult for you, especially in our kind of biased society or biased world I actually think the U.S. does a lot better with autism spectrum disorder than other places. I have a friend in Japan who's autistic, and that's a societal thing that I'm glad the U.S. is better at. But
good.
When I say looking through a new lens, it's like, oh, so I'm allowed to be different. I'm allowed to view things differently. My brain does work differently. It's not in my head in that sense. And it's kind of like the ultimate pass of like, okay, I don't have to feel weird about this. It's probably an autism thing. And then I do research and it is an autism thing, you know.
Well, I like how you told us that, you know, how your mother explained it to you, mm-hmm. because I think that took kind of, at least this is my interpretation, is that it kind of took the sting out of a diagnosis mm-hmm. or a label. You know, I know there's a lot of arguments in the autism community over the label
it has a big effect on younger spectrum people, especially.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a concern of mine when he was first diagnosed. So I understand that. So, okay, well, understand that is, it's very interesting to see the similarities, but then to also, like you mentioned, you know, when you talked about lumping everything together, and all the services together and all the diagnoses together, it reminded me of one of the things that I learned, one of the sayings that has stuck with me for 15 years now is when you've met one person on the autism spectrum, you've met one person on the autism
spectrum. I've heard that before. Yeah. I think I heard that my mom has an old, I think high school friend. I know she's known her for a really long time, and she works for Autism Speaks, I believe it is. And she told me that, and it's like, yeah, that's fair. You know, that makes sense. Cause I've met a ton of people on the spectrum, and I don't think I've ever met one that's the same, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Cause everybody has different challenges or different ways of dealing with things. And
different strengths and interests too.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes, exactly. Like, I mean, when we talk about like hyperfixations, you know, it's different for everybody. Like I know you mentioned that you like aviation.
Yeah. Into airplanes and helicopters, all that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. For my son, it was cars and, you know, and Lego, definitely Lego. I think Lego should, I don't know, somehow be a thing for autism.
Autism sponsor.
Yeah. Autism sponsor.
Yeah. I mean, hey, everything has its place. There's very clear instructions. It's like, it works.
Yes.
Tied into all the nerd stuff, you know.
And that's another thing. So you brought up that word nerd. I am considerably older than you. So when I was growing up, that word nerd was a bad word. You know, if you were a nerd or a geek or a weirdo, those were bad words. And it's not something that a student, elementary through high school nobody wanted to be part of those groups. And now, I listen to my son and my daughter, and they're badges of honor.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to be a geek and a nerd. And
I was on the tail end of that, where first year of high school, like the switch flipped and suddenly it was cool. You know,
I think it was when Dungeons and Dragons came out, right?
Not came out. It came out in the 70s. I'm pretty sure it was still derogatory back then, but I think it just switched. And I think Marvel's what really kicked it.
So, okay. Well, we've mentioned some challenges. One of the things that, that I like to talk about, on the Warrior Words podcast is, so you're a warrior. So you have battles and you have fights, so
like
to speak.
Yeah.
and then we talk about surviving. And now I understand the word survival or surviving in terms of autism may not fit, because while you survive one challenge, another one may appear as soon as the next day or the next hour even. And another thing that I learned was what works one day doesn't necessarily work the next day. So you may have a routine that works for you, you know, for years, and then all of a sudden that routine doesn't work anymore.
Yeah, because you evolve and grow as a person, and autism changes your brain, and your brain still grows. Yeah, it changes a lot.
So how do you feel that maybe if you could just share some of your ways that throughout, you know, from your diagnosis through now, that you have felt like you have survived or are surviving certain challenges that autism has made present in your life?
I agree with you that survive is kind of a weird term to apply here. I hear people use the word thrive a lot when it comes to autism.
That's my next word.
Well, there you go. I'm one step ahead. No. But I think that the living day to day kind of comparison with survive is still very, very viable. And, because as you said, like things don't work, the same method might not work day to day. You might need to kind of vary and stuff like that. And really, there can be so much difficulty in day-to-day stuff for autistic people and people on spectrum, you know, and a lot of that the hard part for that isn't just that it's difficult. It's that it's difficult for you, but not for the average person. And so, getting that sympathy and empathy is really hard, because what might seem like a really dirt simple task to someone else can be a really huge cliff for you to climb, you know?
Right. Yes. And we've experienced a lot of that in our household, so I understand that well. So I do want to talk about your thriving, because you have a couple different ways that I know of, and you may have more, but one is that you mentioned that you have, and I love this term, an amazing wife. And that is, and that is not something I think that is well known, I think, in the neurotypical community, that people on the spectrum can get married and live outside the home and can live what's considered, air quotes, normal life. I guess things that everybody neurotypically take take for granted. So I'd love for you to share a little bit about your wife and your marriage, and maybe how that works for you.
Yeah. It's the biggest thing, just to get the most important thing out of the way first, right? Is my wife is my advocate. And for the whole time since I was diagnosed, it's been my mom who is my advocate. And it's kind of been like a shift of the mantle sort of thing going on, where I've kind of got both of them supporting me right now. But my mom's getting old, and she got a traumatic brain injury a couple of years ago from a car accident. She's in the Author Ready group as well, Barbara Hammond. And so you might know her. But it's sort of been a shifting of the mantle. And my wife has dedicated, just like my mom did when I was first diagnosed, she's dedicated so much time and energy and frustration, I'm sure, to learning about autism, the base fundamentals of it, mine specifically, and how to help. And it's just been amazing. And I think I was talking with a friend the other day, and I've kind of coined this term. It's not hard to get married these days. It's hard to get a good marriage these days. Like, if you went out and found someone who was like super desperate to be in a relationship, and you were super desperate to be in a relationship, nothing is legally holding you from being together, right? But to find, especially as an autistic person, finding someone who's going to be good for you and that you can be good for is huge. And I think that's why there's so much of a difficulty for people on the spectrum to actually go and form those relationships, is that they really need to find the right person. And I know everyone in the romance department needs to find the right person, but I feel like the right person is a really literal interpretation in this case.
No, I agree, because there are a lot more challenges, like you said, the day-to-day living and the, you know, routines and things, and having that advocate is so important.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, that's my wife has an advantage, because she's also neurodivergent. She's ADHD, bipolar.
Okay.
And so we kind of support each other, learn each other's quirks and stuff, and work that out. And ADHD has some crossover with autism spectrum disorder in a lot of ways.
Right.
Not like diagnosis wise, I don't think, but in terms of quirks, you know, and habits and stuff. So we've really learned off of each other and just sort of advocated for each other and figured it out. And she was only recently diagnosed a little bit before I met her. So it was like, it's been really helpful for her, because it's kind of a new experience for her. And
I'm hearing a lot more adult diagnoses occurring. I know a few people in my life, in my world, that got their diagnoses as adults. And I know someone else who's searching and trying to get that adult diagnosis now. So,
I definitely, to anyone who listens to this or watches this, who thinks that they might have any kind of neurodivergent thing, but especially autism spectrum disorder, get an actual proper diagnosis. There is a trend of people self-diagnosing, and because they, you know, but if you're serious and you do think it, get an actual proper diagnosis. I was properly medically diagnosed at Primary Children's Hospital at the age of 15. And that has been a rule book for me going forward. I have that document. I have a physical version. I have a digital version. And it just tells me everything about what I was, who I was in that moment and my history and everything. And it's just been still helpful. Get an official diagnosis. There is no downside. Apart from maybe cost, but so.
Well, I was going to ask you about if you had any warrior words to leave for our audience, and I think you just did that. Much appreciated. Yes, those diagnoses can be very, very helpful, very important. Mm-hmm. So another thing that I like to ask is, we're gonna get back to the other part of thriving, but I wanted in terms of your history and your diagnosis and your marriage. Maybe you could look back and share with us because the thing I like to talk about is called beauty in the broken. And while I don't consider people broken, I consider circumstances maybe broken, as in not perfect, of which every circumstance is not perfect. Right. So if you could look back and see if there are moments of beauty, even though you were struggling, even though you found some challenges and some difficulties, are there moments in your life that you can point to that, you know, maybe you just didn't see in the moment, but you can find some beauty in your life?
One specific moment comes to mind, and that is shortly around the time that I was first, like, soft diagnosed with my neighbor. Mm-hmm. Not, you know, the medical, I'll run through all the rigorous tests and stuff, but the soft diagnosis. I had always been interested in aviation and airplanes and all that stuff. And, you know, the typical autism situation where you could list off all these specs and all that stuff, you know?
Right.
And, I was convinced at the time, as many kids are, that I wanted this specific career and I wanted to be a pilot. Right. So, in order, and one of the things that the counselor and our neighbor said was indulge those interests. I mean, they could lead them somewhere really good. And if not leading them somewhere really good career-wise, then at the very least, it's going to make them feel validated. And it's going to be something that they can use to cope with things, you know?
Yes.
And so my parents, I think it was my dad's idea. The activity was my dad's idea, but my mom was the one who said, hey, let's indulge. And my dad found that they worked at Utah Valley University at the time, and they have an aviation program there where you can go and learn to fly planes and go on to be a professional airliner pilot and such. And they let me do a $75 introduction flight. I was not old enough to take actual flight lessons. And I was supposed to, it's the introduction flight is supposed to be for people who want to see if they would be interested in learning how to fly a plane, do actual lessons. And the people there were okay with taking an 11-year-old up, even though they knew they were not going to get money out of me for being an actual student, right?
Oh, that's wonderful.
And I was not supposed to be allowed to take the controls. And I'm not going to
say. We won't tell anybody on this podcast.
Yeah. And well, actually, they got in trouble for something else that we did that I'm also not going to talk about. It involved toilet paper and the small window of an airplane. So,
okay. Next.
It wasn't anything dirty. No. They were shoving rolls of toilet paper and essentially TPing some poor farmer. it was a joke. But anyway, taking that flight and being able to control that was so amazing. If I got that glint of that everyone who has flown a plane will tell you about, it's like you're on a roller coaster, but you're in control. And so there's no fear, you know?
Mm.
And it's just a magical experience. I mean, there's a reason why so many pilots became poets and talking about religious experiences while flying and stuff like that, you know?
Wow. Yeah.
But I got a, and when I was turned 16, I had another situation like that where I got to fly an old World War II biplane in the same situation.
Oh,
So
cool. That's
kind of a similar, not as transformational instance as the when I was a kid, but just that ability to say, this is my interest. I'm doing it for real. And it's real. I'm being validated in this. And it was so freeing. And I mean, it was big for non-autism reasons as well, but like that, okay. And my dad had a harder time understanding the autism diagnosis than my mom did. Hopefully he doesn't read, I watch this, but, but no, I'm sure he will. And he's supportive. But I think that was a really big step for him to be able to say, hey, let's do this, you know, let's go all in on this. And that was really good for him to do that.
Good for you.
Sorry,
good
I waxed poetic
too.
For a while there.
No,
yeah,
not at all. Good for him and good for you. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So I introduced you at the top of this podcast as author John B. Hammond.
I've never had that before. So thank you.
Well, you have a book coming out, and that is one of the ways that you are thriving today. And you mentioned to me about wanting to turn that into a career. And so tell us about your book and how that came about.
Yeah. So it came about because I've done a ton of different jobs, mostly self-run creative sort of things. And I found that working on someone else's timeline almost never works for me.
Mm-hmm.
And the, you know, this, the timeline thing, the workflow thing, a lot of people that have autism spectrum disorder have high productivity periods and low productivity periods, you know? And, I've tried so many things, and I tried writing. I'd kind of been slowly writing a book over several years just as a creative project. And, I found that the workflow really worked for me. And so I still, for many years, went on and did normal jobs and stuff. But then I got married to my wife, and yes, she said, if you really want to do this writing thing and like actually go for it and make it a job, I'll support you. Like, let's do this.
Wow.
And yeah, since then, she's been my number one partner in everything. I say she's like right on the border between being a co-author and not a co-author. And it's like they need to come up with a new term just for my wife, you know?
But, well, you can coin that term. You,
I can coin that term. Yeah, no. Co-produce, no, co-created. She's a co-creator, not a co-writer, because I did
there
all
you go
of the writing. But and yeah, and this isn't a I want to write a book before I die sort of thing. This is going to be my career, and I'm going to make sure it's going to be my career, because unless I get some sort of divine intervention, I can't find any other job that works as well for me, honestly, to
well,
be able
us
to do my own work, yeah, and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. So tell us the title, and it's part of a series. So tell us a little bit about the series.
Yeah. So the series is called Expedition. The first book is Into the Rift. So Expedition Into the Rift kind of flows.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fantasy. I say it's fantasy. It's fantasy, but it involves people from the modern world going to a fantasy world. So it's kind of portal fiction, the subgenre of portal fiction. And it's a pretty short book in terms of novels. I mean, people are used to Brandon Sanderson novels where they're like this thick, you know?
Yes.
But it's my first novel, and I'm just trying to get it out there and learn the process. But May 15th, planned
May
launch
15th.
Date. So we're real close. This is... Am I allowed to say when this is being recorded?
Well, it will air at some point in April. I haven't determined the date yet, but this will air in April. So it will air at least 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks before release date. Yeah. So
we're really coming up on it. It's been a very interesting experience learning the whole trade. The writing part was the easiest part. I thought people were joking when they said that, but no, it really has been almost the easiest part. But yeah, I'm really excited, though, because, again, it's kind of that autism validation thing where you get to be told it's okay. It's okay to be different. It's okay to work differently, to live differently, to think differently. And I think that everyone on the spectrum has a different job that they're kind of meant for. that fits their interests, that fits their workability, and that's kind of their calling. And I think that they're going to be better at doing that job than anyone who is just your standard going into that field standard wise. I think that people with on the spectrum have such a capacity for talent that if they can find what's right for them, and that's the hard part, is finding what's right for them,
right,
that they can do it really well. And yeah, that's a much better worry words than what I said earlier.
I agree. I was thinking that as you were saying that those are fabulous warrior words right there. So, okay. So where can people find your book or find you online?
So online wise, it's just John B. Hammond author on basically all platforms. Mm-hmm. I have John B. Hammond author, .com for our website. And that's where we're going to be posting the main links. We have Instagram and TikTok, which is under Writing Book Send Help, which we thought was going to be a temporary name, but people like it, so we're keeping it. But it's going to all the standard platforms for sales on the book. It's going to be Amazon, Ingram Sparks direct sale, so we make a little more money doing that. But
yes,
ebooks. We don't have an audiobook. We're working on it, but yeah, just all the standard places, really. I'm in the Utah area, so I'm going to be selling as many books as I can physically. I don't know how widespread geographically, if your audience is mainly in Utah or not. I don't know.
Well, hopefully it's worldwide.
Yeah, hopefully.
I know the podcast has been heard in multiple countries. So
that's good.
So that's great. It is great.
I will admit, I didn't do as much research as I meant to into the podcast. I went to listen to like 3 other episodes and like, oh, that's today. Okay.
No, that is all good. What I'm going to do is I'm going to put your website and your social links in the show notes. And then, as soon as we have a workable link, then I will get an Amazon link also in the show notes so that people can go get your book and they can probably also get it directly from your website once it's released. And I will say that I have watched all of their videos. Now, I am not a TikTok person, but I watch them all on Instagram, and you guys have a really fun account. You guys are really cute.
Oh,
and
ours.
Yes, yours. I did.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about someone else.
No.
Yeah, we have so much fun with that. And I said to my wife going in with social media, I said, I'm not going to do it unless I get to do it my way. I'm not going to... And that's our way. So it's fun.
That's your way. And it is a lot of fun. It is a lot of fun. And I am honored that I got to be a part of your book cover choice. That was fun. Your
did you vote on it?
I did vote on it. I did.
Awesome.
I did. I really like the purple color choice. And I think the winning one might have been the one I voted for. So I don't remember now. I'd have to go back and look. But yeah, everybody else will get to see that winning choice if you look at the Instagram account or the TikTok account, and ultimately when they buy the book. So
yeah, hopefully buy the book. Yeah, if you like fantasy or sci-fi or both, young adult 16 to 30 kind of age range, you know, that's try it out. You know? Yeah,
and I'll need to get a copy for my son.
Oh yeah, I was gonna say I'll send your son a copy. If he's anything like me, he'll enjoy it. So
you two seem to have some things in common. So, well, I want to thank you for taking time out of your schedule to come and talk to us today and to share your experiences and your warrior words and your new book with us. And I wish you all the success on your first book and the series to follow.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I'll say this openly. This is the first time I've been on a podcast, let alone trying to pitch a book. So,
well, I think you did great.
All right. Thank you.
I do. I think you did great. So I hope you had fun.
Oh yeah. No, this has been fun. I love being able to talk about the spectrum, and I being able to advocate to other people about it is really important to me. So this is a great opportunity.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you, everyone. We'll see you again soon. Bye-bye. I had a good time getting to know John today. He has accomplished so much in his young life, and I'm looking forward to watching his author journey. In the episode about my son, we talked about changing the narrative from awareness to acceptance. And I think that's really important. And that's episodes 13 and 14. However, after speaking with John, I think there's another aspect of awareness that we need to address. Tristan is correct in that most people are now aware that autism exists and that it is a spectrum. Where I think we haven't come as far as we could is the awareness that people on the autism spectrum can accomplish things we may not have given thought to. John is married to an amazing woman, and John is a published author. I don't think these accomplishments are things that we tend to associate with autism, but maybe we should. One thing I heard John say was that he figured out what his strengths and weaknesses were, and he did this by actually doing things. After learning what these things were for him, he made the decision to play to his strengths and made good use of the advocates in his life, specifically his mother and now his wife. Remember, sometimes warriors need other warriors to come alongside them. Accepting this is strength, not weakness. I think the lessons John shared today will be helpful to both neurodivergent and neurotypical alike. Do you know your strengths? Are you playing to them, or are you playing to your weaknesses? Something to think about. And if you like sci-fi and fantasy novels, get a copy of Into the Rift. Remember, May 15th is release date. And that's it for today. We'll see you next week. Until we meet again, armor up, fight the good fight, seek beauty, and make your words warrior words. God bless.